Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday was words like eyeglasses blur everything they do not make clear. Benjamin Franklin's encouragement on the subject, remember, not only to say the right thing in the right place, but far more difficult still, to leave unsaid the wrong thing at the tempting moment. Today, practice saying only what is necessary and kind. I just love it, the wrong thing at the tempting moment.
Ooh, that's the whole deal. You hear that little, and just override it and go right into the unfortunate world of ego maintenance. We all know that one, I bet.
We all do. Mm. Well, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dan from Los Angeles.
Hello, Dan.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
So the not kind and necessary, it was for thoughts as well. I didn't have to pay attention to thoughts that weren't kind. And that helped filter conditioning quite a bit.
Yes. Although that's an even trickier place, isn't it?
How so?
Well, here comes a thought. It's not actually that you are thinking that thought. That thought appears via conditioning and conditioned mind. It's not something you're doing volitionally.
Right.
And so to recognize it at that point and refrain from allowing it to turn into language, which is the next step that ego likes to do with that sort of thing, and put it out there. And then, of course, it's your fault that you said that unfortunate thing. And when we watch, the only sort of choice point is the practice of restraint that stops us from acting on what conditioning has presented for us.
So I think you're saying that you could slip into trying to police your thoughts as opposed to just choosing whether to speak or not.
That's right. And down the road, when we are, and policing, of course, is a great word for it, right? Because who would take that on, right? The same
exactly.
System. Yeah. And so down the road, what we are practicing, of course, is directing the attention. So as we become more adept at directing the attention, we actually prevent those thoughts from appearing in conditioned mind in a damaging or dangerous way. So attention is here in the present, and conditioned mind is not being fueled by attention, so it doesn't have the same ability to do what it has been able to do to us in the past.
So it's kind of like the difference between attention on awareness and attention on, is this conditioning, which is attention on conditioning.
Exactly so, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it came up more in the sense of I'd find myself off in a story, and in the story in my head, even though I wasn't interacting with anybody, there would be imagined conversations. I guess that's a hint right there.
Yeah.
And in those imagined conversations, that's where I'd wake up to, oh, this imagined conversation is not kind, which I was an aid in coming back to now.
Yes. And then, right. And then you just drop that and bring your attention back here. And what the way to me that all goes together is, so I'm off, in conditioned mind, in something that isn't here, right? And from the past or the future, and there is that process that leads, that results in, or that maintains ego dissatisfaction. So maybe the conversation is about somebody at work who doesn't treat me the way I want to be treated or think I should be treated. And I'm completely caught up in that little quote marks in the sky, reality, that of course is not reality. Somebody comes up and I don't realize there's all that emotional residue from what's been going on in conditioned mind. And they say something and I react out of that ego conditioning and there's the unkindness. Then I get beaten up for having been rude or insensitive or whatever it is that I get called, and the whole thing has been happening outside the conscious awareness that would have saved me had my attention been here instead of caught up in ego maintenance.
And that to me brings up you can break the cycle at either end, because listening to a beating, when I find myself in a beating, that's not kind. That's not kind to this person.
Exactly.
I know the talk is right. About, or the point was about, I guess I initially read it as it's about not saying unkind things to other people, but this person too gets to have kindness. And so, hey, that's
exactly. And in fact, as we've just been looking at it, that is the place that it starts. Right? Because if that's not allowed, if attention isn't allowed to go into that familiar groove of what's wrong, there's not going to be the opening to beat the human for these imaginary crimes and sins. And if that's not going on internally, again, the little quote marks, if that's not going on internally, then the chances of it going on externally follow suit. So that's the Buddha's whole thing, right? About being here the way we want the world to be, because that's the only way. That's the direction. The world currently is the way it is for most people. Quote marks. Internally.
So being kind to the self or to the human eventually creates that externally.
Yes, and much faster than eventually. because it is the moment by moment by moment by moment by moment. And again, conditioned mind wants to create this forever, but that's an illusion. Life is not a forever. It's a moment by moment by moment by moment by moment by moment. Which is why when we catch ourselves indulging that, the voices, beating the human up for whatever, we just stop it, as you say. We just end it right there. There's nothing to learn, nothing to think about, nothing to get, nothing to anything. Just stop it. Come back here. Kindness.
And actually stopping the beating, I immediately experience kindness.
Exactly so. Yeah, you're in kindness in order for it to occur to stop the beating.
Awesome. Thank you.
It is. It's so exciting. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Right,
bye-bye.
Go happy.
Thanks, Dan. You know, Sherry, the thing that dropped in while you were having that conversation is a movement of a context change versus a content change. That's so important to notice, that if we're in the context of awareness, kindness is an automatic process. There isn't someone or something to be kind to or a thought for kindness.
Yes. So kindness is. And we could say that's a synonym for presence,
yes,
or awareness. Uh-huh.
Yes. And so I think what you were pointing at in that conversation is that as soon as we register unkindness, we are moving into awareness, and then the attention can shift to awareness, which then becomes an experience of kindness.
Yes.
And it's a very subtle place, because if
yes.
we're looking as we were looking at that in that conversation, the filtering of the thoughts of kindness or unkindness still employs the conditioned process.
Yes, precisely. And it is very subtle, isn't it?
Extremely subtle. In fact, we can't go ahead, sorry.
Well, it is and it isn't, right? If we're looking at it the way we're looking at it, the way you're breaking it down into the components, it's extremely subtle. And it is as gross and simple as here, gone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of our salvation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. I was reading the Yoga Sutras recently, and it says that we have to quell the thought waves in the mind, and that it's really difficult because first wave you quell is the painful waves, that is that which leads towards suffering, and then you have to quell the pleasure waves also, because all thought waves, it's not that we ever stop thinking, but it's the identification with the thought waves that we have to retrain. And so that's
right.
What you're talking about. When you're here, you're not identified with whatever thoughts that are appearing in the mind. We're just simply
right.
here. And here is
yes.
an experience of kindness.
Yes, yes, exactly. And the quelling can sound like a doing. But the
yes.
quelling is actually, again, as simple as turning the attention away from it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Wow. All right. Here's our next caller.
All right. Thank you.
Ooh, sorry. I can't bring this next caller live, so let me try another one. Here's our next
mm-hmm.
caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, wow. Hi.
Whoa.
This is Isabella. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, you came on with a great flurry of activity. So, yes, you are here. How are you doing?
How fantastic. Fine, fine. Thank you so much for your mail. I replied to you. Everything is okay here, fortunately.
Oh, good. So for people who don't know what we're talking about, you're calling in from Peru, and Peru mm-hmm. is experiencing some extreme difficulties at this point in terms of weather. So,
yes, exactly. A lot of places are flooded or covered in mud. It's really, really sad, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, many people have died. Great difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you're okay, and I'm glad it's getting a little better.
Yes, it is. And it has to do a little bit with this assignment, you know, about stopping the conversation. Because I really think it's the hardest thing. For example, in the days when there were all this stuff going on and we were receiving a lot of information about more disasters coming, it was
mm-hmm.
terrible because there was this terrible conversation outside from the media making things even worse than they were and pumping up the fear in people. Then there were people talking about possible tragedy, and then there was the internal conversation about possible disasters, and, how lucky you are, nothing happened to you, you shouldn't, all a disaster, you know. And really, the only solution I could see was stopping the conversation, even if
yeah.
I wasn't that very good at it, you know.
Well, yes, and what you're saying is that kind of situation can be really helpful in seeing the process that is difficult to see in good times, right? Because in that kind of very difficult, challenging circumstance, we see conditioning just get crazier and crazier and crazier, more and more out of control, right? As if hyping everybody up to a state of hysteria is going to help the situation. And so watching that and realizing that none of this is in order to help the situation, right? It's to feed ego. So when we see it played out like that, we can bring it back to a regular day, whatever that is in our lives, and watch how ego is constantly trying to make a problem and then feed it and rev it up and make it big and make it important so that we'll keep focused on that. And in the same way, we can just come back here and let's be calm and see what we need to see in this moment.
Yes, exactly. It was a magnification of what happens all the time. Yes. And it's so interesting, you know, because I was trying to focus on saying only what was right, you know, like if I saw somebody spreading a really false news, like there were people writing to all my household saying there's not gonna be water for days, and it was false, no? So I really wanted to write and say in a serious way, look, where did you get this information? This is false, no? But it was really interesting to see. Yeah, it was interesting to see all this thing, you know, of trying to communicate only what's necessary and how hard it is, because if the conversation in one's mind is going out of control, it's hard for the conversation outside to be clear, right?
Yes, yes, yes. We see how much we human beings are controlled by fear. How ego controls us through fear, and how egos control us through fear. So the media feeding the fear, right? It doesn't have to be that way, but that's what generates the interest. That's what gets people to pay attention. So if I'm a newscaster coming on and saying things like it's fine, this is working, this is happening, this is how this is being taken care of, the best thing, you know, kind of like little kids in a fire drill, right? You know, if in a fire drill in a school, the teacher doesn't come in and start screaming fire, because that would not that would just produce chaos, right? And so we see in that media whipping up the population to these fever pitches of fear and hysteria, and we just, you know, we don't want to participate, and we don't want to let that happen inside our own head.
Exactly, and listening to you say that, it also dropped in that we are programmed to fall for it if we don't pay attention, you know, because probably for genetic reason also, no? They say we are survival of the people who were more afraid in the jungle, so we didn't get eaten by lions, I don't know. This is what some say, no?
Yes, I know. I'm not certain that exactly holds true, but certainly at this point, The lions are few and far between, and our survival is probably much better ensured when we are here and present and listening to life and doing the intelligent thing in this moment, rather than living in, trying to escape the lions when there aren't any.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Ah,
well,
thank you so much,
Sherry.
It's so beautiful to talk to you.
Good to talk with you. Take good care. See you soon.
See you soon. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sotar. It's so true, right, Sherry, how necessary and kind are not what the media does. It's such an ego process of creating fear and creating sensationalism and emotional engagement in times of tragedy and disaster. It's so cool.
Yeah. It really is. And, of course, I doubt very few people who are engaged in that get up in the morning and say, I'm going to go out there and, get involved in this cruel behavior that's going to ruin a lot of lives today. There's a belief that somehow that being informed is hearing all of the alarming spin on a possibility that can be presented. And so to get it that's just not helpful, then we have a choice about it, right? We're not going to affect the people who make their living in that arena, but we have a choice about it. We know that we don't have to engage in that. We don't have to perpetuate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Hello? Hello?
Was that you helloing Ashwini or someone else?
Hello, this is... Oh, there it is. There she is. Who is it? Hello?
Who's there? Must be going in and out, huh?
Yeah, let me try someone else.
All right.
Yes.
You're there. We can hear you.
Okay, I'm going to try someone else here.
Okay.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Mark in Arizona.
Hello, Mark.
Hi. Wow. Wow. A surprise.
Here we are.
Here we are, indeed. So I'm sure over the last months I've had about 500 conversations with you, and I think I'd just as soon keep going from where you were. And one of the things that struck me is this sense of things that conditioned mind produces these wonderful imaginings as well as horrors. And I find that I have a kind of subtle understanding that that's equally as destructive because it tends to lead me to dissatisfaction.
Yes. Either indirectly or directly. Mm-hmm. Right? So people will often say to me, of course, but what about pleasant thoughts? I mean, aren't pleasant thoughts okay? What about happy fantasies? Aren't they okay? And I always encourage that person we're never telling people they should or shouldn't do anything. It's have your own direct experience. So if we pay attention to that process, we realize it starts out pleasant, but if we stay with it, it's going to go downhill. Right. And so it's either going to go directly downhill into, but that's never going to happen for you. Or it just, as I think you're indicating, creates a kind of an under the radar sense of, my life just doesn't compare to how it could be, what's possible.
Right.
Exactly. And you know, it's a drum that needs constant beating, and I thank you for it. But if I'm present, when I'm present, I actually don't have those thoughts.
Yes, precisely. Yep, yeah. There it is, huh? And so, Mark, when you're present and you're not having those thoughts, what is that like? Just for, you know, because we rarely talk about that part of the program.
That's a wonderful question, and I thank you, because it is one of the things that I've wanted to talk with you about. Yeah, I experience two kind of a variety of presences. And one extreme is more like being in a trance, just sitting. It oftentimes happens when I'm meditating, and there's nothing going on. I'm just aware in a very kind of not active way of my environment. And to take the other side of a polarity, not a duality, a polarity, is when I'm listening to the birds and I'm internally singing with the birds, as if I'm actually, the sun is coming up and I'm welcoming the sun with all of my being, you know, and those are really, in both cases, there aren't any real thoughts going on per se, not the kind that we were talking about, and yet they are very different experiences.
Yes, yeah. Well, those two, of course, much more similar than the other that we talk about so often. Right, either the just flat out nothing is going on. There's sort of nothing that is rising up in awareness as a distinct whatever that attention is drawn to. So it's that experience of attention on awareness, and everything is just there in awareness, or the active identification with life unfolding, which doesn't require a someone to have that experience, right? It's awareness, aware of the sun, awareness, aware of the bird.
Right.
If that's
right.
Hanging together. I think yeah. We're on the same page here, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, it was yesterday morning, I had the experience, I've never had an experience like this before, and maybe it's conditioning, I don't know, but it was an awful lot of fun, of kind of being 2 years old or something, and toddling across the space where I was toward the birds, and just like playing with the birds. It was really delightful.
And until there is a self-consciousness that comes in with perhaps a story of, what are you doing? You are a grown man, right? And before that happens, none of that story exists.
That's right. Right?
Now, to encourage you in this direction, not that we can actually be encouraged in this direction, but you certainly understand with an experience like that, why the fool is the highest expression of Zen.
Yeah, of course.
Right? Because if a conditioned human being were watching that, the conclusion would be, there's a fool.
Really? Totally.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. And, of course, being fools, you know, being a fool, one would not trade for any kind of right way of being that anyone could ever come up with.
Yeah.
Give me the choice, I'm going to be the fool.
That's so true, and it's so it's such a delight just to know that that's possible. You have been in the past while, you've also been referring to an alternate consciousness, which is just there, just that far away, and yet you can't actually reach for it. I can't anyway.
Yes.
If I reach for it, it slips through my fingers. It's impossible. I can only follow your advice and go to presence and, you know, wait.
Fall into it. And fall into it. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Once in a while. We can't even hope for it. We can just be delighted to know that that possibility exists.
Oh,
and the and the supreme gratitude that comes from, and I've had that experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And bless you and thank you both so much, so much. I cannot tell you enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm not even going to start down talking about that conversation, Sherry, because we'll be here forever.
Ooh.
And it's already 9:30. And as beautifully as ever, it leads to our assignment for the day.
Yeah, yeah. We can just all stay for a minute in that delight, in kind of the chills and the tears in the eyes and the
gratitude.
Okay. All right. I'm ready to go. What's next? I mean, what's now?
Well, it's what you just said. Live the questions now. Perhaps then, someday far in the future, you will gradually, without even noticing it, live your way into the answer.
Uh-huh. Would you read that again, Ashwini?
Live the questions now. Perhaps then, someday far in the future, you will gradually, without even noticing it, live your way into the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Does that fall into it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think there's more to this, but the thing that strikes me that I don't want any of us to miss is that questions, plural, answer,
mm-hmm.
singular.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Today, make a recording listing some of the questions you once had that you've already lived into the answer for. Notice if the answers have created more questions, and if perhaps the questions have become more interesting than the promise of answers. Make a recording that celebrates a life being lived in response to the mystery of life.
Hmm. Hmm. All right. I'm in. Are you?
Definitely. I love this one.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Thank you, Sherry. See you tomorrow.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Go happy.
Go happy. Go happy. All right, here we go.